This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold.
Welcome to this edition of the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jim Harold. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for your kind emails. A lot of people are joining our MySpace page as friends, following us on Twitter, putting great reviews on iTunes. So we really do appreciate it. And tonight we have something completely different, something somehow we've neglected to cover over the last 3 years, but better late than never. And I'm talking about electronic voice phenomena. And we have really two of the foremost practitioners of investigations on this topic, Mark and Debbie Constantino. They've been certified parapsychologists and have investigated many haunted sites, but probably their greatest interest is EVP. So we're thrilled to have them both with us. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Mark and Debbie, how did you kind of become you're a married couple? How did you become married ghost hunters? How did that whole evolution and relationship happen?
Well, to be honest with you, I grew up in a haunted house. I was an only child. My house backed up to a graveyard. And so I've been in it my whole life. And I'm a sensitive anyway, so I can't even begin. That's a whole other can of worms, just, you know, what I went through as a child. But, you know, every house I've had has been haunted. You know, I think when you're sensitive, you're aware of them, they're aware of you. You know, the more you're seeing them, the more you pay attention to them, the more they stick around. And I guess I met Mark when, I think I was like 24. We've been married 20 years. And I think he's got a story about 6 years into the marriage when he got his first experience. So I don't know if you want to share that, Mark.
Well, yeah, we had just moved to Reno from New Jersey, and we moved into an apartment, and it was some negative things started happening to Debbie. Nothing was happening to me. And then one day she had told me that that she was touched. She showed me how she was touched and where she was touched. And then lo and behold, a couple nights later, we were sitting on a couch, and I got touched the exact same place in the exact same way. So that was my first, you know, big kind of awakening that I couldn't kind of explain away, because just by nature, you know, you kind of try to explain things away.
Sure.
But even before then, I mean, in the first 6 years, there were little things that I was able to explain away to myself anyway. And then, but during that whole time, we didn't live in one house that didn't have activity in it.
Yeah, so generally it centered around me because I was the one that was aware of it.
Sure. So over time, Mark, you came to say, hey, this stuff, there's something to it.
Well, yeah, I always believed growing up that there was more than meets the eye. But, you know, it's like I tell people, you know, that have not experienced something or finally have experienced something. You know, there's a absolute difference between believing that there's something else and then experiencing something that you know is paranormal.
Yeah, but,
you know, and then you know, it's like night and day.
Yeah, but I mean, what's interesting is we're going back 6 years into the marriage when he finally had his first experience, but I think like last night we were watching, we have all the haunted stuff on TiVo.
Sure.
And watching something, and I don't know what show it was, but so I'm laying there on the couch. He had gone into the kitchen. And I hear a guy, like, sitting next to me, like a disembodied voice. This is not clear audibly, like, clear his throat. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, Mark, come over here, record. There's a guy sitting right next to me. And he didn't say anything, but he said, you know, I heard that 10 minutes ago, and I should have said something.
Huh.
You know? So it's like, now it's happening all the time. So
it's kind of like that portal's been opened. You're sensitive anyway, so there's more communication, you feel.
Yeah, but, I mean, now he's noticing stuff that he doesn't even mention now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Now
I don't want to show Debbie up. So
yeah, all right. Yeah, we got it.
That's old hat. That stuff's old hat now. Now, so over time, you've kind of developed this practice. I mean, I've seen your site, spirits-speak.com. What is your job as a parapsychologist? What do you do?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I'm redoing my whole site because we had the opportunity. Now, you know, it's a great and wonderful thing to be certified in something, and I'm not knocking people that are certified. But once you work with somebody like Lord Auerbach,
sure,
you know, I'm telling you, all the pieces of paper in the world can't, you know, put together what this man has in his mind. You know?
And we just interviewed him last night, by the way.
Oh, what a great, he's wonderful. Oh,
yes.
I love him.
Yes.
He's like the god of parapsychology.
That he is.
I mean, yeah, when we first built the site, God, yeah, we are legally certified to be parapsychologists, but to me, you know, ghosts don't care whether or not you have a credential in this or that. They care whether or not you're of the vibration and they want to talk to you. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, I'm going to revise the site and kind of juggle things around. But, you know, in the beginning, it was like, yeah, it was nice to put on there for the search engines and all that, you know.
And I think that's one part of kind of what we did that has kind of suffered because of, you know, just the amount of time that EVP takes. You know, it's a very time-consuming
just the editing process and everything.
And I think that's kind of suffered because of it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So let's get into it. Let's get into EVP. And for people who are not familiar, I guess we'd start off with a definition. What is EVP anyway?
EVP is the recording of spirit voices, or I guess the politically correct thing would say is voices of unknown origin that are captured on any type of recording equipment out there, whether it be a tape deck,
computer. We've got them on our cell phones.
Yeah, answering machines, digital recorders, any type of recording equipment out there.
Well, I
don't. Where you don't hear the voice as you're recording, it's only on playback that they become evident.
Yeah, although we have, once or twice, we have captured disembodied voice.
Right, but that's not EVP.
All right, let's get technical. All right, go ahead.
We'll have a little debate.
Yeah.
Now, the funny thing is, I've got to share with you, I had forgotten about this until I got ready to do this show, and I said, maybe... Well, I guess if you define it as unknown origin, I've personally experienced EVP. I'm in my late 30s. About 20 years ago, I've always been a little bit of an audio geek and always liked to play around with audio. And I had some different decks hooked up. Everything was wired. Nothing was through the air. And I was dubbing over some old tapes from an old format. And I played back... I was taping it to that time a cassette. I mean, kids now don't even know what a cassette is, but I was taping it over to a cassette, some old tapes, and I played back, and it was a song, and all of a sudden, somebody said, as clear as day, as I'm saying to you, said, "Listen to that little birdie sing."
Oh wow!
And I mean, that was absolutely as clear as I'm talking to you now. Now, at the time, my thought was, well, maybe it was somebody with a CB radio or something interfering. Maybe there was two-way interference where they could hear it and it was coming. But everything was hardwired. Nothing was through the air. So it was all with cabling. So maybe, I guess there could have been some, if you get technical, there could have been some RF leakage or different things. But I just thought, you know, again, maybe there was a perfectly interesting and a perfectly logical explanation. But boy, I'll tell you, that was a little spooky.
Now, was there actually bird singing? Do you remember?
No, it was actually they were commenting about the singer singing. It was a piece of music. Yeah,
that's really interesting.
I wish I had that cassette.
Yeah.
No, I was talking to a woman, and God, she's really good with EVP, and I can't remember her name, but God, I think she's in Minneapolis or something. But I was talking to her on the phone, and she was saying she went to the library, and she, you know, how you research the old. Tapes and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. She was saying she had such a good ear. She was picking up EVP in these old black and white tapes at the library.
Huh. Now, how do you... So when you investigate EVP, what are the criteria that you look for if somebody like sends you a recording? How do you research it? What do you look for to kind of separate the wheat from the chaff? What might be true ghosts or something like that to something that's just, you know, an anomaly?
Yeah. You know, I think what we stress more than anything when we do our presentations and when we lead groups during conferences is really controlling your environment, because there's no foolproof method of saying, okay, this is an EVP and this is not an EVP. If somebody sends us an EVP And to me, it sounds like it's just somebody in the room that's talking. Mm-hmm. Then I'll answer them back and I'll say, you know, are you sure at the time that there was nobody else talking and things like that? But some of the smaller things you can look for is the vast majority of EVP is only, I'd say, 1 to 3 words long. Vast majority of EVP are less than 2 seconds long.
Okay.
A lot of it, too, has that quality. It kind of sounds like when you're a little kid and you're talking underwater to your friends.
Sure.
With that bubbly kind of effect. And, I mean, there's the whole Hertz level theory, too, which, you know, it's between a certain Hertz level and that. But generally, you know, a lot of people send us stuff. And I'll tell you, some of the stuff I don't even answer because it really sounds like it's the TV set. Or, I mean, you develop an ear after a while to where you actually listen into the white noise. And, you know, it's... Some of the stuff just has a tinny quality, like an echoey quality.
Sure.
Mark, what do you think?
I just said what I thought.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I interrupted you then, huh, Jack?
No, I'm good.
This is great. I love this back and forth.
There is no foolproof way. I mean, and that's why we stress, you know, control your environment. Make sure you're doing it in a quiet location. If you have a group of people there, you know, set down the guidelines before you turn your recorder on. You know, nobody talks. If anybody wants to ask a question, come close to the recorder. You know, you just really need to, and that's why we also stress, you know, the way we work is we don't put a recorder on and then walk away from it. Because once you walk away, you don't know what's going on around that recorder.
Sure.
So, you know, we keep it as simple as possible, and it's always hands-on because then, you know, if you're there, then you know whether that area was controlled or whether it wasn't controlled.
Well, see, another interesting thing we do, and people have a problem with our voice activation, but once you start getting EVP, you know, we just get so much of it that we just use the voice activation feature, and then we'll stand there together with the same recorder,
mm-hmm.
both on the same setting, same voice activation, and he might, you know, when we finally turn him off, he might have 60 seconds, I might have 40. So obviously, if we're standing a foot away from each other, his picked up something mine didn't. Therefore, we're listening to his first, because generally that picked up the EVP. Not to say they both didn't, but generally, you know, we checked the one with the more seconds, you know, rolled.
Sure. Now, over the last, you know, 10 years, there's been a big change in recording technology, going from tape-based analog over to digital. Has there been any real difference for EVP with the increase of use of digital technology? Has that changed things at all?
Well,
go ahead, Deb.
No, I just think if you're ghost hunting, it's just kind of crazy to bring, like, a tape with you. It's just much easier. We use the digital handheld ones.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going on location, that's just so much easier. It's less work. You don't have to change tapes. You know, you download it, you're done, and you move on. It's just a much neater type of thing. But we've used both, and we've gotten EVP on both.
But in our experience, we've had better results with digital recorders.
Interesting. Now,
then again, we've used them more, too.
Sure. A few years ago, there was a movie about EVP. I believe it was with Michael Keaton, and the name of it...
White Noise.
Yeah, that's it. What did you think about the portrayal in that movie of EVP?
See, you know, I don't think that... Anyway, the ghosts that I work with aren't evil. They don't, you know... That's not to say there aren't bad entities out there. Like, you know, we go to a lot of locations to where... We just went to a sanitarium. It was the Wolf Manor in Fresno.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with that is there was, you know, my theory on it, and this is just my theory. There's some icky things there that I don't believe are ghosts. And I think where they stem from is there was a lot of insane people there. And I think that there's beings, I think that ghosts don't even scratch the surface of what's out there and the different dimensions things lie. And, you know, when you're insane, I believe there's critters that feed off that. There's critters that feed off suicides. They say pull the trigger. You know what I mean? There's just icky stuff out there. And I think a lot of, I'm not going to say a lot of, but there was stuff there that I don't believe was all, you know, I don't want to say in you because then you think the D word, which I don't think it was that. But I do think there's stuff out there, but I don't think ghosts, that movie White Noise was a little over the top for me.
Well, I mean, it's Hollywood, but if I remember right, I think the beginning part of the movie wasn't that bad, but then it kind of got, a little outrageous.
As far as he was getting beat up by the ghost, if you're going to get beat up by anything, it's not going to be a ghost. I think there is stuff out there, that has strength, but I don't think ghosts have that kind of strength.
Now, you were kind enough to send me before we had a chance to get together tonight some clips from an investigation that you've done, the Rolling Hills investigation. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And that'll get us into some of the clips that we can play for the audience and you can comment on them.
Well, I can tell you. It's a sanitarium in Bethany, New York. As a matter of fact, I think we're going to be there November 13th through the 18th, again, with the Ghost Adventures GAC conference there. But the thing with Rolling Hills, the owner, Lori, is just awesome. And I think the ghosts really like her. We have never gotten more EVP in any location. We've gotten more, I think we were there for 2 days. How many EVP do you think we got, Mark?
We got a bunch. We got more than
we got at Alcatraz, place. Believe it or not. And we spent the night there twice. So, and it's just an awesome. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, no. The activity there was crazy. We were seeing things. We were picking
shadow
up EVP.
People.
Debbie and I were walking up the stairwell, and they had put. Like cardboard kind of blocking the downstairs to keep
the draft out,
Draft out
right.
from going down or coming up or something. And Debbie and I had just had a cigarette and we were walking up the stairwell because we were stationed, I think, on the second floor.
Yeah.
And while we were walking by that cardboard that was taped up to the railing, somebody just pounded on it.
Like, as soon as we, and I know there was nobody on the other side because, we were there with Jason and Gray, and they were on the first floor, and I just wanted to peek my head through there to make sure we weren't disturbing their group. So I looked there, absolutely no one there, and someone, slapped it exactly as we walked by. I nearly jumped out of my skin. I've never been so freaked out before. And, I mean, stuff at the sanitarium, there was one point where we were in this smoking room on the second floor, which the night before, two of these girls that really get the most fantastic photographs were in there. And Stacey Jones was there, and they got a photograph of a hand coming out from nowhere and touching one of the girls. So I had sat in the same seat the next day. And God is my witness, I carry my equipment on my waist, but I don't carry a cell phone. I carry it on my belt. Mm-hmm. My entire belt started vibrating. I've never felt anything like this before or after. And I hesitated to say something, but I did tell Stacey. Then the next day at the reveal, some guy comes up and he goes, well, I was in the basement and, my waist is vibrating like it's a cell phone. And then Stacey yells out, well, that happened to Debbie last night, too, in the smoking room. So it's some kind of a weird phenomena that I've only experienced there.
It's a very, very, very active place.
Yeah, there's tons of ghosts. I mean, they've got awesome pictures that they'll, if you go to the shop in there, they're willing to show you. I mean, shadow people... I see just as many shadow people there as I have Waverly, believe it or not.
What I'll do is I'm going to play clip number 3. I'm going to play it twice, and then I'm going to let you comment on it.
Okay.
We'll do that one more time. Now, share with us what you thought was being said there by the EVP.
Okay, on that one, at that point there was no question asked. And it's just the spirit saying, you better eat. And if you've seen me and if you've seen Debbie, the spirit was not talking to me. he was talking to Debbie. And it's funny because he must have saw Debbie, thought Debbie was a little bit too thin, and said, you better eat.
Well, let's play it. Go ahead.
I'm 93 pounds, so I am kind of tiny. But, it's funny when the ghosts start telling you that. It's like,
we'll share that one more time. Mark and Debbie says, you better eat. And then you supplied us with clip number 25 from that Rolling Hills investigation. And on this one, I'll also play it twice and let you comment.
Okay, but before you play it, you're going to hear me ask a question, and then you'll hear the EVP.
Okay, here goes.
If so, is there something we can do to help you?
Okay, let's play that one more time.
If so. Is there something we can do to help you?
Okay, Mark, can you set that up for us and let us know what we just heard?
Sure. This one is probably one of the freakiest EVP that we've ever recorded. What happened was, and if you go to one at Darkness, Dave Schrader, Darkness Radio, any of his conferences, like Debbie said, we're doing Rolling Hills in November, and we're doing Waverly with him next May. But what he does, which is really cool, is he does charity auctions at his events for really, really good causes, abused women, cancer foundations. And so he had done his charity auction, and the next day he called Debbie and I. He said, hey, what are you guys doing? And I said, nothing, we're just relaxing in our room. So he said, I'm coming up, I have something for you. And this is a whole nother interview, but we also work with dolls that we get EVP from, a lot of EVP.
How does that work?
Well, we have some dolls that people have given us. We have a couple dolls that we bought at garage sales.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend that's a sensitive that mails me dolls. I get EVP from them, and I mail them back.
So is there the feeling that maybe there's an emotional imprint from the person that owned the doll?
There's a whole theory behind that. I'm not sure it's the person that owns it. I believe I was given one by him. The doll's name is Patrick, and, you know, Chris Fleming has also worked with Patrick. It's a human spirit, I believe, attached to the doll.
Hmm.
And it's just, you know, kind of a portal the spirit uses, but he's like a really cool guy. He's in his 50s. Kind of, you know, I picture him in my head like some guy working at a gas station in Indiana or something. How you doing, Patrick? Good. How you doing? You know, it's just like a laid-back kind of farmer guy, but just works through the doll.
Interesting.
That's a whole other can of worms. But what's interesting, though, is Dave had given this doll to us to get EVP from to auction off at the auction. Come to find out, we got this EVP, give it back the doll, the day before we got the doll.
Oh.
So that was a pretty interesting thing. Because a lot of them, too, they'll answer questions before you ask the question. And it's happened so much that, you know, definite answers. Like I've got one where I say, how many spirits are in a room with you? And before I ask that question, they say counting. So before I even asked it, they told me the answer. So I guess there's some truth to there's no time and space where they are. But it was just really interesting because, you know, we didn't even know we were getting the doll. And then they must have seen Dave get the doll from the owner, Lori, that day, knew it was coming to us, and said, Mark said, is there anything we can do for you? They said, give it back, the doll.
And we didn't hear this EVP until 3 weeks later when
we edited it.
When we were going through the EVP when we got home. And when we got this EVP, like Debbie said, it was a good 14 hours before we even knew that we were going to be getting a doll to work with.
Yeah. Luckily, we work with a recorder that has a date on it. When you record, it gives you the date. So that was...
Well, nowadays, most of them do, if you're going digital. But,
right. Yeah. Well, it was good we did, though.
Well, let me play that back one more time because I was playing some of these for my wife, and that's the one that gave her goosebumps. So this is a favorite of mine.
And again, you'll hear me ask a question, and then you'll hear a spirit say, give it back, the doll.
Okay, here goes.
If so, is there something we can do to help you?
Give it back, the doll.
Yeah,
then it is.
It's now, really eerie that.
You know. Yeah, it is. It is a very eerie one. Now, the next clip up is clip number 40. Any comment? This is also from Rolling Hills. Any comment on this before we play this one?
Yeah, and this was, again, there was no question asked, but it to us, it's just a spirit just sort of warning us because we were just walking around Rolling Hills. And just sort of giving us a warning, and then after you play it a couple times, I'll tell you what we hear, and then you can play it again.
Okay, here goes. And one more time. And what was he saying?
Okay, to me, and this is another thing that happens, it's not really uncommon. You will get more than one spirit finishing one thought.
Yeah.
Now, what you just heard is spirit that, there's one spirit that says good luck, and then another spirit jumps in and says, with the man in back.
Let's play that one more time for folks to hear. Good luck with the man in back.
The man in back.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, they're in a higher frequency, so you get a lot of fast talkers. We don't edit the quickness of it, just to show people what EVP truly sounds like. And that was a fast talker.
And for the final clip number 49 from Rolling Hills, we're going to play that. Any setup for that particular clip?
Well, you'll hear me ask a question, and if I remember right, I think I ask if they consider, Rolling Hills their building. And the response we got back is a spirit saying, I'm a doctor.
Okay.
Do you consider this your building?
Interesting. One more time.
Do you consider this your building?
And one final time.
Do you consider this your building?
I'm a doctor.
Yeah. And we also got another EVP, oddly enough, that we asked a question, and the EVP we got was, I'm a dentist.
Yeah.
I think it was the same night or the next night.
You know, a lot of the sanitariums, though, we do get them refer to themselves as doctor because, you know, I don't want you to get letters or anything, but, you know, doctors have a way about them to where they feel they're a little more qualified than most people. And that, well, they feel the same way dead, too. Like, that's the first thing they'll say, well, before I even give you my name, I'm a doctor, or, do you know what I mean? It's kind of funny. Like,
well,
a little bit of arrogance to them.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I believe it was Lloyd who said in our interview that ghosts are the way, when they exhibit themselves as ghosts, as they were in real life, they don't suddenly become a lot smarter.
Right.
You know, they pretty much are the same people they were when they were here physically.
Absolutely. I think the only thing that might change is maybe they become a bit wiser in knowing, hey, this is real, we do exist, and maybe they become a little more spiritual, you know, but...
Well, see, and I don't necessarily agree with that, especially the spirits that end up being, I don't want to say stuck, or I don't want to say earthbound, but I would say maybe at a level closer to our plane than spirits that evolve further.
Right, and, go ahead.
Go ahead, Deb.
No, I'm sorry. I think that we've talked to some that have already crossed, and so, you know, most of the ones I think we get are unfortunately earthbound for whatever reason, for whatever length of time, who knows. But I think the ones that have already crossed tend to speak for a longer period of time, clearer, and they give you more direct, more kind of educated responses.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, it makes perfect sense, because if you think about it, our soul or our spirit or our being is basically what differentiates you from your neighbor. I mean, it's not your heart. Your hearts work the same. It's not your liver. Your livers work the same. You know, it's your soul. It's your being that that maybe, you know, makes you a grumpy person and, your next door neighbor a happy person. And I absolutely believe you carry that over.
Yeah.
Well, after the break, we're going to talk a little more to the Constantinos about some of their other investigations, what's up next for them, and a few words of advice in case you want to search for some EVP right after this on the Paranormal Podcast. Hey, I just wanted to say thanks so much for some of the great reviews you've been putting up on iTunes. We're only at about 50 now, still quite a bit short of that leading skeptical podcast, but I know we're going to catch him. And I just thought I'd read some of the ones that we've gotten. They're fantastic. One here, excellent podcast, 5 stars. Jim Harrell provides an open-minded approach to the paranormal in a well-polished professional manner. By far tops in paranormal podcasts. Another one here. I love this one. I've been listening to the Paranormal Podcast for about 2 weeks now, and I cannot put my iPod down. I subscribe to other shows about paranormal information, and I find yours is the best. Keep up the great work. Here's a good one. Yeah, he told me to write a review, so that's what I'm going to do. Definitely one of the best podcasts out there on any subject. Jim Harold is a marvelous host and always asks the right questions. Well, thanks so much for the kind thoughts, and we really do appreciate it, and we think it will help us get the word out to more and more people. And please tell your friends, connect with us on Twitter, MySpace, and at paranormalpodcast@gmail.com. Now, if you want to put in your iTunes review, but not been quite sure how to do it, there's help. Go to paranormalpodcast.com, scroll down actually below this show, and you will see a little instruction on how to submit a review to iTunes and a link that will open up your iTunes music software and put you right where you need to be. And with that, back to the show, and thanks again.
Back to the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold.
Welcome back to this edition of the Paranormal Podcast. We have Mark and Debbie Constantino, EVP experts extraordinaire, with us. And we've been talking about electronic voice phenomena, some of their investigations, how they got into it. Mark and Debbie, if somebody said, you know, I have an interest in ghost hunting and I want to get into the examination of EVP, how would you tell them to start, how to go about it?
Well, you know, for me, you need to get a recorder that's going to, some recorders work better than others. We like, just for the, I'm not saying analog doesn't work. Analog does work, but it's a bit messy if you're going on an investigation. We use digital. We use handheld recorders. What I do is I don't like to do a lot of talking online. You know, I like to ask a question, a couple words, give them 10 seconds to answer. Again, when you turn on your recorder, a lot of times I hold it up so the spirits see it. A lot of them, you know, ghost hunting is really popular now. A lot of them recognize the recorder. They'll start talking right away. I just put a little piece of tape on my recorder. I write the location I'm at. I use a dated recorder so I don't have to say, well, you know, today is this, this, and this. I'm standing in this room. Because a lot of times you'll get a Class A and you can talk right over them by saying all that information. So I just turn it on, 10 seconds, ask my question, give them 10 seconds to answer. And again, before you turn it off, a lot of times you'll cut them off, allow 10 seconds. What we do is we like older Sonys. I mean, if people want to email us, ask us questions about recorders, you know, we'll be glad to answer any questions. But what we're working with now is the Sony B26 and the 16s. They're really good for getting EVP. And a lot of what we do is we look for recorders that aren't the best quality, because what they do to manipulate a voice is they'll take the internal noise out of the recorder. I mean, there's a phenomenon called voice manipulation. It's really a phenomenon within a phenomenon, but they will actually, if they don't have anything else, they will actually manipulate your own voice into their thought, which is the trippiest thing you've ever heard. And the only way to really know this is to prove it, I should say, because you know you didn't say it, and you're playing it back, and you're hearing your voice say something else, is we'll use two recorders at the same time. And sometimes we even use a control recorder, you know, just to prove something like this. We had a friend of ours go on it. In fact, at Rolling Hills, it was a smoking room. It was a friend of ours named Susan Cummings. She asked a question. She goes, I've been told I need to come and get the little boy. And she's been saying little boy to me for 2 days straight. We play it back. It says, I've come for the little girl, clearly. Then we play back Mark's recorder. One recorder says little girl, one says little boy in her voice.
Hmm.
So that's very rare, but it's happened to us that we actually can prove it on tape, because we use two recorders about three times now.
Yeah, real quick, getting back to the original question.
Yeah, well, that's
why
I went on a little long-winded.
No, no, hey, that's a beautiful thing about podcasts. We can go as long as we need to.
But the point of it, you know, you don't want a perfectly clear recorder. You want something with internal noise, something a little bit scratchy, because that internal noise is what they use to formulate their words.
Well, that's the best held up. That's the theory that's holding up.
That's the one I believe in.
Whether it's internal noise or whether you're using some form of external noise. But
well,
I would say in the beginning, keep it simple. You don't have to spend a lot on a recorder. Try to set up a time. like when Debbie and I started, we decided we would give ourselves 3 months. Debbie did most of the recording.
I did all of it until I got a voice. Then he kicked it.
And then, anyway. So we gave ourselves 3 months. We decided we were going to record for 2 minutes a day. Actually, 4 minutes a day. 2 minutes in the morning and 2 minutes at night. And we just jumped into it and just decided to figure it out on our own. Try to set up, I mean, even if you're really busy and you can only, say you can set up a Friday night for 5 minutes, try to stick with that Friday night as strictly as you can, so there's some kind of routine, at least in the beginning, so Spirit is aware of when you're going to be available to them.
Because, you know, not that they have any sense of time or anything like that, but I do believe they know when your key goes in that door. And they know, okay, that light went on. Okay, they're home. I think they do look forward to that. I mean, I've actually been in situations where, you know, I didn't record. I was too tired one night. And I actually felt a hand press. You know, I sleep under like 3 comforters. And I felt it press to kind of not scare me, but shake me. Like, hey, lady, you didn't record tonight. We have something to say, you know. And I honestly, I think we record at home. And you know what? If you're afraid or have any fear, don't do that, because I think if there's any fear involved, just do it on ghost hunts, that type of thing, because, you know, people that have a lot of fear, and, you know, since Paranormal State and all this, we've had a lot of letters, but if you have a lot of fear and you're afraid of doing it, then you kind of open up a fear door. So until you're comfortable with it, I wouldn't recommend recording at home. Start out on these retreats and these haunted events and that type of thing.
And that's a good point. That's where I thought Debbie was going to start when you asked the question was, you know, you want to have some form of protection. I think it's a good idea, but Debbie's right. If you are fearful, you're better off not doing it, because,
especially at home,
into something,
and a lot of these retreats, pleasant. You know, they have, we'll be working with Adam Bly and John Zaffis, and there's a lot of demonologists there that can give really good advice. And, you know, it's a great thing to do is to go to one of these events, gather all the information you can, and then go out there. And, you know, if people are interested and have any questions, we have a MySpace, and, we'd be glad to answer any questions anybody has.
Do you think that, and I talked to Lloyd about this the other night, do you think sometimes that this kind of investigation is almost taken not seriously enough now? You know, maybe some people get together and say, oh, let's, pretend we're on Paranormal State and do a ghost hunt. Do you think it's almost like too much of a...
I think a lot of the groups now, I mean, there's so many groups out there. And I mean, we've been in it forever. I mean, whether he was into it or not, any family vacation we had, we were going to Lizzie Borden before we even recorded. I mean, our family vacations were centered around that bed and breakfast better be haunted. You know what I mean? So, but now, you know, people are, ooh, I want to get scared. I'm not going to say every group is like that. There's a lot of really tight groups. And that's another great thing about going to these events. A lot of times you'll see the same people at these events. And these are people that are tight. You get people going to these events all by themselves, people that are really into it. You'll meet good camera people, people that are good with photography. You know what I mean? So anything that you're into, you can kind of find there.
But yeah, I do think with the popularity that's going on now, there's bound to be some of that going on. I mean,
and just the number of the groups too is. I'm sorry.
Right, and I think there's some people that are just kind of stepping into something that, you know, they don't really understand, that has, you know, that could have a dangerous side to it.
Yeah.
And that would be one of the things that I would tell somebody to be cautious about.
Yeah, like we've never used a Ouija board. I sell the products on my site because they're cute and they're trendy. But I even wrote on my site, I've never used one, I never will. And I'm not saying some people can't use them safely. I'm sure there's people that are great with them. You know, to me, there's stigma attached to it, and I can't get that out of my head, the exorcist. So, you know, I just don't feel comfortable with it.
Sure.
You know, there's, you know, rituals too. I mean, you know, I'm not a witch. I don't practice anything, but you know, it just depends. If you're young and you don't really know what you're doing, just go to somebody really good at it if you want to learn the correct way and do it for the right reasons.
Now, when it comes to EVP, and I usually ask this of our guests, regardless of what kind of niche of the paranormal they're looking at, what would you say to the skeptics that say that, I'm not believing in this? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You're never going to make them happy. And, you know, I'm not out to, I know it works. And I don't care if you believe me or not. I mean, we go into room, you know, we'll be doing Rolling Hills in November. There's not been one time when one group didn't leave and hear something come back on one recorder that wasn't on the other one. And I mean, tangible stuff. And we'll say, you know, did anybody hear that? If nobody heard it, we'll bring the recorder to your ear. I mean, we have speakers. I think in general, most people, I think, are pretty happy. They've at least heard a spirit talk by the time they've left. Yeah. You know, and I'm not saying something like, you know, like, yes, no. I'm saying like tangible sentences.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, I mean, listen, being skeptical is absolutely necessary. But, you know, I would, in a short answer, I would say any argument that can be brought up to EVP not being what we think it is, I would just say to put an end to that argument is, If you're standing and you're speaking into a recorder and you are asking questions at the point where you're getting answers to your questions, that really
like direct response
nullifies anything that anybody can say EVP not being legitimate. I personally don't have to go any farther than that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, even a skeptic, I think, if you're in the room and if you're watching, I mean, we were there in the Washoe Club with Zach and Nick where they got the apparition. We were in there, I guess, 5 years later. And you hear, I think we said, where are you standing? And it's on the MySpace if people want to go to it and on our website. I think they say in back of Nick. We hadn't even given them Nick's name. You know, they use Zach's name as well. Now, that's not a real popular name. Yeah, they might have overheard it, but I mean, you know, that's not plane interference. But, you know, I don't spend a lot of time with skeptics. I think even if at these events, if there's a skeptic there, the skeptics, I notice even with seances and that type of thing, skeptics close doors and you don't get a lot. I work with a girl who does events, and she's always like, well, this place isn't haunted. And I tell them, I'm like, Mark, I can't work in a room with her because they just don't talk in front of her. You know, they close doors.
Yeah, but it's, you know, to each his own. I mean, you know, a skeptic, it has just as much a right not to believe.
Yeah, which is fine.
As we do to believe.
See, my thing is, I do believe, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, there's no question in my mind. And, yeah, they have as much right as anybody else, but I don't waste a lot of time worrying whether they believe or not.
What if you had to, and obviously you've been on many, many investigations, if you had to pinpoint one of your favorites, which one would it be?
The Myrtles. We didn't get a lot of EVP there. The reason why is because we were seeing so many, full-fledged apparitions, little critters. We stood by the, there's a swamp in the back, sort of a pond, but to me it looked like a swamp. Just standing there, and in the incense, and the insects chirping, you would hear voices.
Where was this again?
The Myrtles Plantation.
Okay.
In St. Francisville, Louisiana.
Okay.
Right. It's a real famous
hurricane. Yeah, and I think it got hit by the latest tornado, and I'm not sure it's...
A hurricane,
whatever. It's Midwest-y. It could be a hurricane.
South.
All right. Okay.
This is not a geography podcast, so we don't have to worry about
thank
that.
Thank you.
Now,
and we do this to each other all the time.
No, I like it. It adds some spice.
Alcatraz was also very intense, too.
I would think that Alcatraz would be really, because, you know, many times talking to psychics and the like, there's a lot of talk of places where there's high emotional angst, you know, maybe there's more ghost activity and those kind of things you might think. I would think in Alcatraz there's a lot of broken hearts and that there might be a lot of activity there.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we had the opportunity to spend the night there twice. And the thing with Alcatraz, it was such a cruel prison in the fact that, you know, it's on the rock, but it's so close to the beautiful San Francisco Fisherman's Wharf. And, you know, the story that the guards tell you is a lot of times, you know, when they had to walk the grounds, they just stared at the ground because it hurt too much to see, you know, the tourists having fun, people on boats. And, you know, it was really sad.
Yeah, and I would say, if you asked my opinion, I would say probably Myrtle's, I would say, is right up there as far as what things we saw, actually saw.
And experienced. And I mean, we heard, literally heard, people being hung. Disembodied, the shrill voice of people just screaming. I heard it along with this. He was a filmmaker, happened to be there, not even into the paranormal, but happened to be there. And the night that we stayed, Francis Carmine, who previously owned it, turned it into the bed and breakfast it is now, hadn't stayed there for 4 years, thought she booked the whole place. We happened to slip in a crack. Why, how, I don't know. But we happened to be there the same night, and I think the spirit saw her there and were so damn happy to see her that the house came alive. I think that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, it was literally insane, the amount of activity that was going on there that night. And as far as just the sheer number of EVP that we've been able to record at a location, I would say Rolling Hills has got to be number one.
Yeah.
And that's the sanitarium up in Bethany, New York, where we're going to be in November.
Yeah, and I mean,
and I would say number two is Alcatraz, because I've really got a soft spot in my heart for Alcatraz. I don't know why, but I really, really like Alcatraz, and we got some amazing EVP from there.
Yeah, and the thing, too, is a lot of people even caught, like, Karen Mossy, you were talking about, white noise. But she's the one that did the EVP for the trailer for White Noise.
Mm-hmm.
She caught these amazing pictures in the broken window. She was just, you know, her and her partner Mike Sullivan went with us. And they were just taking pictures in the windows. And she got some amazing figures. And you would think it would be all men. This was a woman. So, I mean, the whole place is whatever your forte is. If you can get to Alcatraz. And we've been on the tour. Got nothing on the tour. But, you know, contact them, see if maybe you can, I don't know, everybody's getting more and more open to allowing people in places.
Well, not Alcatraz, so.
Well, I don't know. You know, they might.
Well, when you talk about contact, obviously, you know, you have a wide range of activity, TV appearances, physical appearances, different investigations. This is the first week of October, Halloween month. What do you have coming up over the next few months?
Okay, well, we do have in November with the Ghost Adventures, Zach, Nick, and Aaron, they're the ones that got the brick thrown in the Goldfield Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We did their first event with them, but the second major event, along with, they have a series coming up on the Travel Channel too, which premieres October 17th, and we'll be there with Stacey Jones, Chris Fleming. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong one here. Hang on. Okay, well, Darkness Dave will be there, Bishop Long, who's an exorcist, Stacey Jones, and that's going to be at Rolling Hills in Bethany, New York, on November 13th through the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. After that one, we'll be at Gettysburg in March 26th, 27th, 28th, along with Chip Coffey, Stacey Jones, Adam Bly, demonologist, and Patrick Burns. And let me see. And then we'll be at Waverly, with the infamous Waverly, which was intense. We were there a couple months ago, but it was absolutely crazy. We were hearing footsteps in the halls, loud, clear, four or five people. Mark was getting EVP. Why don't you want to talk? I don't like Mark. Where are you standing? Right behind Mark. I mean, clear. It was crazy.
Are you sure that wasn't you?
No, it wasn't me. Well, anyway, that's going to be a Dave Darkness event. You can go to darknessradio.com, and that's going to be May 10th through the 13th. Chris Fleming's going to be there, Patrick Burns, along with exorcist Bishop Long and Stacey Jones.
And where can folks, you mentioned a MySpace page, you mentioned the email that folks could email you if they had questions about different equipment and things. And I know you also have a website. Can you give those out for our audience?
Yeah, our website is www.spirits-speak.com. So the spirits is plural. there's a dash, and speak is singular. And also, we were recently on an episode of Paranormal State, so if you look at your reruns, the name of the episode is Hide and Seek. Just don't blink twice because you'll miss us, but we got some pretty good EVP while we were on.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we'll be on an episode of The Ghost Adventures, new show that Debbie said premieres on October 17th.
Yeah, I think we're going to be on the second show.
Right.
Well, it's been a very interesting discussion. You've taught us a lot about EVP. So, you know, you ghost hunters out there can get your recorders ready with the guidance of Mark and Debbie. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you both.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
We've had a great time.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to this edition of the Paranormal Podcast. Now, as I said before, you've all been generous with your comments. You're friending me on MySpace. You're following me on Twitter. The thing that I would really like to, you know, please ask you to keep putting in those iTunes reviews, because when you do that, it really gets the attention of the iTunes folks, and hopefully we'll be featured in October to coincide with Halloween. You may have also noticed that we're putting the show out a little more. During the month of October, our goal is to put out two shows every week in recognition of the holiday. So thanks so much for listening, and stay tuned for the next edition of the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jim Harold. I hope you have a great night. Bye-bye.